Straight Talk with MJ. I'm your host, Michelle Jeanette, and today is D-Day, June 6th, where we remember the turning point of World War II and how thousands and thousands of men sacrificed their lives for the freedom for Europe, for freedom for us, to preserve freedom of the greatest generation. So both my grandfathers were in World War II. It's something I don't think younger generations appreciate, which is typical, but we have to make the effort to keep people informed and educated about history. And that's what I love doing the podcast and bringing to you history at the end of every episode. So, of course, I will end this episode with that. But today's title is My Body, My Choice. And I was hoping to kind of get your attention on that because that's a very kind of a popular catchphrase, especially among liberal leftist women who scream out my body, my choice, especially when it comes to abortion, their right to terminate the life of their unborn baby. So for years, that has been my body, my choice. And it's kind of ironic to me because that's not my topic today. My topic is also controversial. It's not abortion, but it is kind of along the same lines of my body, my choice, but it's not being followed when it comes to vaccines. It is a controversial topic, COVID vaccine. I have family members on both sides of the issue, and I don't want to cause a rift, but I do want to bring information. And our constitutional republic is based upon the consent of the governed. Okay, we consent to give a little bit of power to the government so we can have a good society to live under. Oh boy, has that gone awry. But in order to be to give our consent, we have to know the information. And we have to be informed. We have to be educated. That's what our founding fathers were very adamant about. Knowledge, morality, and religion, they all went together. And this constitutional republic doesn't work without all three of them. And we've lost almost, I would say, a lot of them. Some of it's being suppressed. Christianity nowadays is being targeted. Information is being suppressed. It's being erased, silenced, threatened. If you say the truth, you're threatened with your job. We're in a very dire situation. But what you're not hearing a lot about is the actual information about these vaccines. And it's enough information to give me pause and think about it. And that's what I hope will happen. And they're also harassing and vilifying people that are called vaccine hesitant and or anti-vaxxers. They're calling those same people that are asking questions about this COVID vaccine, they're calling them anti-vaxxers, which is not true. A lot of people are asking questions about this COVID shot that are not anti-vaxxers. So I just want to bring information to you because I know within my own family it's going to be very controversial. But my goal is to have you ask questions. And my goal is to have you want to look for the truth. And I have spent hours, literally hours, reading and watching video and trying to decipher and allowing time to pass because I haven't brought this up before because I wanted to wait. I wanted to see as time passed, usually as time passes, the truth rises to the top. We're seeing that in a lot of situations from the last couple years. As time passed, we saw that the Russia collusion was a hoax by the Democrats to try to get rid of Trump. Everything that they tried to get rid of him didn't work. Okay, because over time we found out what they were trying was not true. Same thing with COVID. a lot of the information we've been given the last year, the shutdowns, the tyrannical shutdowns of some of these governments, are based on lies, basically. Faulty PCR testing, faulty numbers as far as death numbers. Many doctors talking about, you know, how they're reporting deaths was not correct. Dying with COVID is different than dying from COVID. And how the majority of COVID deaths, the super majority of COVID deaths, were with people that had other health issues, especially obesity and diabetes, are the two biggest, and maybe even heart issues. But, you know, they are not telling you all the information. So my whole point with this My Body, My Choice is it's pretty ironic to me that they shout out My Body, My Choice when it comes to abortion. But when it comes to vaccine, it's you better get the vaccine or you don't get to go to your job or you don't get this job unless you're vaccinated or you can't come to this game until you get the vaccine. Place after place, this is happening. Right up to the line of constitutionality and maybe even stepping over it. Okay? Your individual freedoms here. And it's an experimental vaccine. And I'm going to show you, you know, some information about that. And one of the great resources has been America's Frontline Doctors. From the beginning, they have been correct. Time has proven them to be correct. When they first came out, people were wondering, are they really telling us the truth? When they got in front of the Capitol steps or the Supreme Court steps and said, please understand that COVID can be treated. You don't have to go to the hospital. You don't have to die. That you can take hydroxychloroquine with zinc and vitamin D, and you can be treated and you can prevent most hospitalizations and prevent most deaths. And they were ridiculed, laughed at, censored, lost their licenses, and threatened. Hundreds of doctors, and with all because they were suggesting the use of a drug, a repurposing a drug that had been around for 60 plus years safely. And Big Pharma doesn't make money off of old drugs very much, especially cheap drugs like hydroxychloroquine. And ivermectin now has been shown to be this as effective. 70 to 80% of people who took hydroxychloroquine in the early days, you know, prevented hospitalization. It prevents hospitalization, if I can say it another way. And 70 to 80% of the people who took hydroxychloroquine and zinc and vitamin D in the early days, I think it's like as soon as you have symptoms to 5 or 6 days later. The trials that they tried to tell you the reason it didn't work is because in trials it didn't prove effective is because the trials were faulty. The trials they did it in were people who were hospitalized and had already had other issues and were extremely sick. It didn't work with them. So you have to take it early. Same thing with ivermectin, a repurposed drug. It's really for, parasites? I'm not 100%. But I know it was working. But they don't want you to know that information. Especially for the, you know, you want to have this information to make a good choice. And I know from personal experience that you were told last year, if you had the virus, you were told, go home until you can't breathe. Then call the ER. There was nothing the doctor was giving these people except for Tylenol to keep their fever down. And they were just sit at home and wait. That's what started me on this journey of investigating everything that was going on. Because it was personal to me. Stay at home and wait until you almost are dying. Then go to the hospital. When have we ever told a patient that if you're sick, just go home and wait till you're almost dead. Then we'll treat you. Why would they do that with COVID? Now we're finding out it was weaponized. It was man-made, more than likely, in a lab in the Wuhan that was funded by Fauci through the NIH for years. And the Pentagon. I'm getting this information from the National Pulse and Revolver.news. I highly recommend you follow them. They have fantastic investigative journalism going on that will blow your mind, that you will not find anywhere else. Maybe the Epic Times. They do a really good job too. So this virus, we have a 99.9% survival rate. And you have therapeutics that, if you take it, prevents, you know, people 70 to 80% of the time, prevents you from going to the hospital and prevents you from dying. So why in the world do we need a vaccine for that? Vaccines are only supposed to be used if there's nothing else that will, if there are no early therapeutics that will work. That's why you get a vaccine. This isn't the case in this. So the America's Frontline Doctors, they have 10 medical facts regarding the COVID experimental vaccines. And by the way, COVID-19, SARS-CoV-2, is not a novel virus. And I probably will play this clip here in a few minutes of Dr. Simone Gold, who is one of the founders of America's Frontline Doctors, explaining that it's not a novel virus because it has over almost 80%, I think it was 75 to 80% similarities to SARS-CoV-1. So it's extremely similar to SARS-CoV-1. And the vaccines for SARS-CoV-1 did not work. They couldn't get them safe. All the testing they did in animals made the animals really sick or killed them. So basically, we're in the trial phase, okay, of the vaccines. But in this 10 medical facts, number one, they are not acting like vaccines according to the common definition of a vaccine. The investigational COVID vaccines were granted emergency use based upon reducing symptoms only and not based upon preventing transmission of SARS-CoV-2. Once the trials are completed in 2022 and 2023, so we're in the middle of a trials. So you're taking a trial vaccine, okay? The data will be analyzed, and at that time, it may be possible to know if either or both vaccine candidates reduce viral transmission. There has never been a situation where a vaccine candidate was rolled out to millions of healthy people under such a bizarre set of facts. Number two, the experimental vaccine only lessens the symptoms. You're still at risk of getting the virus. And Epic Times did an article, let's see, I can't remember the date on that, was May 26th. So far, over 10,000 COVID infections among people who are fully vaccinated. That's just the ones that are reported. That's just the ones that are reported in the VAERS system. And 6 in 10 of those occur in females. We know the side effects to females are pretty bad. They affect females way more than, obviously, 6 in 10 more than males. And according to a new report from the CDC, which now has stopped counting breakthrough infections as of May 1st, except for those who are cause hospitalizations or death. So if you just get really sick from the virus, but you don't go to the hospital, they're not going to count that as a breakthrough infection after you've had the vaccine. So they're changing the rules in the middle of a game like they always do when they don't like the outcome. That's just how they roll. That's how they roll. Okay. Number three. You do not need to be vaccinated if you've already contracted COVID. Typically, people who catch an illness develop natural lifelong immunity, and there's no reason to think SARS-CoV-2 is different. Persons who already had COVID were excluded from the initial trials, which is strange given that now they recommend it to people who've already had the illness. There is evidence that the COVID vaccine might actually be more dangerous for persons who have already had the illness and that they seem to develop an exaggerated reaction to the vaccine. Number four, the experimental vaccine uses new technology never before seen or used in a vaccine. This is the biggest thing that caught my attention. We've never had this kind of vaccine ever before used on humans. All the current and past vaccines use antigens, something the body detects as foreign to us. In total contrast, some of the COVID-19 vaccines use modified or mRNA to program our cells to make an antigen. Then after our cells make the antigen, our immune system fights against it. For the first time, the immune system is trying to attack something our bodies have made. Will the body consider itself or foreign? This needs to be studied dispassionately and carefully before dispensing to millions of healthy people worldwide. We know autoimmune disease will occur, as it always does in some percentage of standard vaccines, but we are concerned it will be in much higher percentages with this new technology. Understand, you are agreeing to be in a medical study when you take any of the COVID vaccines. So basically, this injection of the mRNA, it's a synthetic spike protein that's injected into your body, which there are studies now that are showing that it doesn't just stay in your muscle and your arm, that it gets into your bloodstream. That's why there's blood clots and all this stuff going on. But it's synthetic, and it's telling your body, like it said, to make an antigen. So it's basically, is your body going to consider what your body's making foreign or itself? So you're going to develop autoimmune disease, which won't show up for like 9 months to several years. Number five, the vaccine, quote, may make you sicker than if you hadn't taken it, especially the elderly. The vaccine may cause a paradoxical reaction called ADE, which is antibody-dependent enhancement. These enhanced antibodies are extremely dangerous to people, as they actually help the virus get into the cell. If the vaccinated person with ADE is later exposed to the virus, they will have a much more serious reaction than if they had not had the vaccine. Studies show that the elderly may be more prone to the ADE. The previous unsuccessful attempts to create a vaccine against SARS-CoV-1, MERS-CoV, and RSV, all coronaviruses, all failed due to this antibody-dependent enhancement. All the so-called vaccines attempts failed. All the coronavirus vaccines attempts failed. So we're basically in the middle of a trial right now. Number six, inflammation at the placenta of pregnant women who receive the vaccine have been reported. Caution if you desire future pregnancies. The vaccine is designed to create antibodies to attack the viral S protein. That protein is very similar genetically to the proteins made by the placenta. Some reported cases of inflammation have been made. We urge extreme caution for those of you that desire future pregnancies. This reaction could affect future childbearing. We just do not know. So they're putting a vaccine out there with this potential side effect, because it's been seen now, and women especially are having very bad reactions with female issues. I just want to bring this is the kind of stuff they're not letting you know about side effects. And you have to know these side effects before you make an informed decision about whether or not to take the vaccine, if it's beneficial to you, because you have to weigh the benefit versus the risk. If it's not going to be beneficial, more beneficial than the risk, you don't want to take it. I think I said that right. Number seven, there are effective, safe, affordable prevention and treatment medications, which I've already covered. And they cite well over 250 studies that talk about hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin, vitamin D, C, zinc, and quercetin, and budesonide also. Let's see. Number eight, deaths due to COVID simply do not justify the use of any experimental vaccine. We know the death rate for COVID in all ages in the U.S. According to the CDC, the chance of surviving COVID with no treatment at all in ages 0 to 19 is 99.997. Almost zero chance of dying. And yet they're trying to force these vaccines on children going to college or children, young teens. And Fauci even wants 6-month-old babies taking this vaccine. If you're 20 to 50, your survival rate is 99.98. If you're 50 to 69, it's 99.5. And of course, the over 70, it's a lot, it's lower, 95%. 80% of deaths are over the age of 70, with an average of 2.6 other serious medical conditions. Only 6% of deaths occur in persons without known serious problems. The average age of a death of COVID patient exceeds the average national life expectancy. And if you look at the, because we already have about 8,000 deaths per day in the U.S., and if you look at the total number of deaths each year and you go back the last few years, we're actually on track or even a little less than the last couple years of deaths. It was like 7 million, 2.8 million, 2.9 million. And we're actually on track or less. So if we've had this serious pandemic and all these extra people are dying, wouldn't that show up? I would think it would show up in those numbers. Number 9, the known risk of vaccines can be serious. Vaccines currently available have reported known risks. Okay, so we're administering the vaccine to people at low or exceedingly low risk of death. These risks need to be known and weighed, like I said, before taking the vaccine. And, again, the last thing, the experimental vaccine should be compared to other therapeutic medications to accurately determine their risk versus benefit. So, you know, that's what we should always do, but we don't always think about it. If we take a medication, we're asking ourselves, and you see it all the time on TV with these ads. If you take this, it's going to help this symptom, but here are the side effects. Blah, 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 blah. You might get a headache, you might throw up, you might die, you might have a blood clot, blah, blah, blah. Right? But people still take it, but you have to know the risks. They're just not letting us know the risk. That's why I'm bringing this to you. Other thing that's kind of interesting, and I want you to think about why, you know, ask why. We need to find out these things. Why they change the rules in the middle of a game. For instance, OSHA, you know, the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, they have suspended the legal requirement for employers to report work-related injuries resulting from vaccinations. So no longer do they have to report those injuries. So they're not counting the, the employers that are telling their workers to get vaccinated, they're not going to report the adverse effects. They don't have to. So we're not going to know about those. We don't know about the military. They're exempt. And we don't know about those in prison. They're exempt. And I have a friend who was a nurse in prison for a prison in Virginia. And basically they blackmailed the inmates that if they didn't get the vaccine, they would have no interaction with family, with other inmates. They wouldn't have be able to go out, that kind of thing. So they were getting the vaccine by the hundreds. And over half of these, in this one prison, over half the men who got the vaccine were hospitalized with heart issues. She reported it 3 different times, and they said, if you don't stop reporting this, you're going to get in trouble. So she finally left. She said, I can't take it. They're not letting you report the truth. They're not letting you report it. They don't want you to report the vaccine side effects. Again, you're in the middle of a trial. And it's kind of interesting, the same people, the media, who had a daily death count, you know, the ticker on the news. Every time you turn the news on, there was a ticker of how many people have died, how many people had COVID, how many people died. And boy, they really love that death number. They kept that up there big time under Trump because he just wasn't doing enough to stop death. One death was too many deaths, right? These same people are now not telling you about the 4,500 plus deaths that have happened because of the vaccines. That's what they're not telling you. And the hundreds of thousands of people who have had adverse effects from the vaccines. They're not telling you that. This is something you want to know in order to make informed decisions about if you're going to take it or not. But they're not giving you that opportunity to know. They're just telling you to take it. And they're doing it, again, pushing the envelope with constitutionality. Working with big pharma, big tech, big government, all in cahoots. Vaccine passports on the horizon. Do you understand what will happen with that? That's a whole other issue. The VAERS system, the way that is, it's the system that the CDC and the FDA have set up for you to report adverse effects for vaccines. And it has to go through your doctor. It's a very lengthy process, form that you have, the doctors have to fill out. And there is a penalty of fine or jail time if you file a false report. They did a study of their system in 2010, and a report was done that said that fewer than 1% of adverse effects are actually even reported. So if there's 4,500 plus people already dead from taking the vaccine, again, remember, you can be jailed or fined for filing a false report. And there's only 1% that's reported. What's the actual number? What is that? I mean, you should be asking, what is the actual number? If 1%, let's say if it's just 1 to 10%. What's the actual number if it's 4,500 people dead? I want you to ask questions. The whole story with Fauci coming out this week after he told Rand Paul that he did not fund gain-of-function research in the Wuhan lab, and this whole trove of emails that came out that proved that he did, what's going to happen? It seems like all this information gets released. Who's gonna pay the consequence for their action? There was a doctor last year, Harvard immunologist, who came out and said, his name escapes me at the moment, that Fauci and the others are responsible for hundreds of thousands of deaths because they suppressed the use of hydroxychloroquine. He could have saved a lot of lives. If they, like I said, I personally know from personal experience that they were told to go home. I've said this before. And if you wait at home until you can't breathe and you're almost dying, then go to the ER. Right? A lot of people died because of that. They weren't given treatments. I just want you to ask, questions. Ask questions. There's so much more information on all this. I just wanted to get just a tidbit out for you. I want you to hear this Dr. Simone Gold. She started the America's Frontline Doctors that have been vilified since the beginning. And I want you to hear her interview, a little bit of an interview she did with Diamond and Silk, the really great, crazy, wonderful sisters, Diamond and Silk. And they're great. But listen to this interview. I want you to hear a little bit of this.
Okay, so is it a virus or a biochemical weapon that's being used against us?
So there is a virus called the SARS-CoV-2 virus. It's not a novel virus. It's 78% identical to SARS-CoV-1 from 15 years ago. Early treatment works, hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin, budesonide, plasma convalescent, lots and lots of things work. If you come down with SARS-CoV-2 and you're otherwise healthy, you'll be sick, you'll be uncomfortable, or maybe asymptomatic, but you'll do fine. If you're frail, if you've got multiple medical problems, you could get very sick. Those people should be on early treatment for sure. So that's a real thing. But to be honest, Diamond and Silk, it's the same as everything else I treated. as my 20 years of board-certified emergency medicine. Let the doctors and nurses handle it. There's nothing different about this. I handle influenza, we handle strep pneumonia, we handle all of this. Let us handle it. Let the doctors and nurses just do their thing. Take the politics out of it. Yeah. Take the fear out of it. What's with the fear?
Yeah.
Well, the politics and fear is what you said.
Yeah, fear is a good way to take and control people.
Right.
And I understand that a lot of people is having a lot of adverse effects to this vaccine that's going on here.
I really want to get into the vaccine.
Yes.
Okay, so when we talk about the therapeutic medicines that can treat and they have an emergency vaccine, first of all, I want you to know we're not an anti-vaxxer. I'm not that. But I do have a problem with taking something for a virus that has a 99% recovery rate. Can you please explain to our audience about the vaccines?
Okay, there's a lot of things, so sit tight. First of all, these vaccines have been rolled out under an EUA, an emergency use authorization. You may not know, I'm also an attorney, so a Stanford University educated lawyer. So if there was no EUA, you could not roll this out as fast as we've done that. To be qualified under an EUA rollout, there has to be no other effective treatment available. That's why there's been so much hatred towards the early treatment options. If early treatment works, you can't roll it out too fast. I always like to say I'm not anti-vax either. I've been fully vaccinated all my career. My children have been vaccinated. This is not that. This is your mother saying you should not be the first one on the block, you know, to jump off that bridge. This is a brand new medication, brand new technology. We simply don't know yet what we don't know. Let me share some facts with you. The VAERS, Vaccine Adverse Events Reporting System, established by the government 30 years ago, already shows very alarming rates of death and adverse events associated with the COVID-19 vaccine. This can be compared to influenza, for example. The number of deaths associated with the COVID-19 vaccine are over 2,500. The number for influenza is about 25, like 100 times higher for about the same number of vaccines that have been distributed. Number two, there's a lot of evidence to show that there's clotting problems, a lot of bleeding problems. These are legitimate things. There's been a lot of miscarriages reported. The point is that if you're young and healthy, you need to think twice before taking an experimental medication. By the CDC's own numbers, if you're under age 50, your chance of surviving SARS-CoV-2 without any treatment at all, by the CDC, is 99.98%. In that category, you cannot be taking an experimental medication when we simply don't know all the risks associated with it.
So that's just a little bit of her interview with Diamond Silk. It was really good. She has a ton of videos and conferences that she's done on America's Frontline Doctors. I highly recommend that. I'll put the link when I do this tonight, post this podcast. Basically, I'm not trying to say don't take the vaccine. I'm trying, because it's an experimental thing. It's an experimental shot, okay? I'm trying to bring you information that's not put out there by the mainstream media if you're not listening to any other outlet. And I want you to be able to ask questions and say, and make good informed decisions with all the information. So I'm going to put a lot of information. I'm going to link it to my podcast website today. Go, and I highly recommend that you read this stuff. It's information. All right, I've worked hard. I've read a lot. I've studied. I've listened to videos. Read hours and hours. It's taking a lot. That's why I've pushed it off. That's why I told you I haven't brought it here until now. But I want you to know this information because I care about all of you. I care about you. I want you to make informed decisions. And if you were needing the vaccine, if it's the risk outweigh the, you know, if the benefits outweigh the risk, outweigh the risk, then, you know, make that decision. Take, you know, do that. There are people that, you know, it will help. But I just wanted to bring that information to you because the Pfizer CEO himself, now these are his words, not mine, but the Pfizer CEO himself, let me see if I really quick want to quote him. And there are many other doctors, toxicologists, well-known doctors that talk about this, all of this. He is saying, he is even using language like the COVID injection agency calling it demonstrably false and fraught with sinister corruption that could lead to unimaginable totalitarianism and mass death events within 2 years. And he's talking about the spike protein that's being the synthetic spike protein that's being put into your bodies. They just don't know how your body will react, and it's going to take time to find that out. It's going to take time about the autoimmune, what I described earlier. So I'm going to put all these links. I want you to read it, and I want you to just be informed. And I love all of you. I pray that everything works out. And I know I've had family members that have had the virus, so I know it's like my mom had it. She said it was like a really bad flu when she had it. And they, you know, she didn't go to the hospital, and she's in her 70s. My dad had it. He had a little bit worse because it turned to pneumonia because he was sent home to sit and wait until he couldn't breathe, right? So it's a personal. It's personal. That's what started this journey of my investigation, my reading, looking into all this. My husband and I have traveled all over the U.S. last year working, and this year. We traveled all over. You know, so we've been a lot of places. And I love Tennessee. I love how basically a lot of how they've reacted to this thing. But there's some states out there that these governors have on a really big power trip, and some of these government officials. And we just have to be careful. We have to be informed. Like I said, we're a republic, and it is based upon citizens who stay informed, educated, and are moral and religious people to keep this country going. So we need to get back to that. I just finished doing a Constitution class, hosting one with Patriot Academy. It was really fun, very informative. Probably going to be doing another one. If I do, I will let you know right here and on my social media sites at Gab. Doing a little bit on Facebook, not much, but just trying to get little tidbits of truth out on Facebook while I can. I'm not really huge and big enough name for them to shut me down, although they have done that a couple times. So, thanks for listening. I'm going to finish here. 37 minutes. I'm going to finish now with a little bit of history. And I had planned a longer story, but I went a little long on this, so I'm going to pick a different one here. Let's see. And I always finish with some stories from American history, so let me get that really quick. Okay, today's is out of one of my favorite books, The Founder's Bible. And this is Ephesians, in the section Ephesians 4:25. And Ephesians 4:25 says, "Therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you, with his neighbor, for we are members of one another." So, this is great. Okay, whenever a command appears in the Bible, it does so because it is addressing something that does not come naturally to us. For example, God never commands us to enjoy ourselves, or to breathe air, or to make sure that we eat regularly, because these things all come naturally. However, he does command husbands to love their wives, children to obey their parents, Christians to serve one another, and many other things that do not come naturally. God does not command us to do something that is impossible. It may not come naturally, but it most certainly is something we can choose to become obedient to, and something that he will empower us to live out. The Apostle Paul very clearly acknowledged the inner struggle we all may face in order to walk in obedience in Romans 7. But he is also the one who declared, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." And in Galatians, "I may not feel capable, but I am promised that my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory." So, in this dynamic partnership, God is both willing and able to supply everything we need. All I have to do is choose and ask for his help to live it out. There is no autopilot. It will not be done for me, as in without me, but rather with me, such that I can confidently declare I can do all things through him who strengthens me. As such, when we see any command given in the scriptures, we should make it an object of concentrated personal attention. Lord, help that become true in me. And then diligently apply ourselves in prayer and action until It finally becomes a habit in our lives and thus becomes a part of who we are, or at least of who we are supposed to be in Christ. One simple command that God has given us, but one that precious few fully embrace, is found in Ephesians 4:25. Laying aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you, with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. The command to tell the truth is given because it does not come naturally, even among Christians. In fact, a survey found that 2/3 of Christians admitted that they lied in the previous month. When asked why they would do so in the face of so many verses against lying, the three most common reasons were this. If I told the truth, it would devastate my friend. I only lie about meaningless and insignificant things. I don't think God cares about those. And yes, I have lied, and I know it's a sin, but that is why Christ died on the cross for me. Clearly, telling the truth does not come naturally, even for Christians. Lying is still part of the carnal nature, and it must be overcome by deliberate and intentional effort, even if telling the truth offends our friends or involves addressing meaningless and insignificant things. Interestingly, the Rollo Code of Morals by the Reverend Jacob Abbott, an American textbook from 1842, was reprinted in 1891 as a primer of ethics by Benjamin, and I can't say his last name, Comeaux, and then again in 1999 as Ethics, Early American Handbook by Wall Builders. It pointed out to students that there are 6 ways to lie and that each must be avoided. Number 1, saying a thing when we know it is not true. Number 2, saying a thing when we do not know whether it is true or not. Number 3, prevaricating, or being ambiguous or evasive. Number 4, misrepresenting. Number 5, exaggerating. Number 6, saying what is not true for misinformation or mistake. From misinformation or mistake. The temptation to lie through any of these 6 means has been faced by every generation since Adam, including by those living in the founding era. But the founding fathers, through diligence and much concentrated effort, made speaking the truth a habit in their lives and offered much wise counsel on that subject. George Washington said, "I hold the maxim no less applicable to public than to private affairs, that honesty is always the best policy." Benjamin Franklin said, we perfectly concur with you in sentiment, sir, that honesty is the best policy. Endeavor to speak truth in every instance." James Madison, "Truth delights in plainness and simplicity, and it is the counterfeit alone that needs ornament and ostentation. For what is the object of our discussion? Truth, sir." And Thomas Jefferson, "Truth will do well enough if I left to shift for herself. Truth can stand by itself." If we are to be honest and trustworthy people, we must be people committed to truth, hearing it, living it, and speaking it. If our words matter and are to have any weight of authority, their accuracy counts, and our lives must watch. King David made it his prayer in Psalm 141:3, "Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the doors of my lips." We must deliberately discipline ourselves to speak with precision and thus embrace and obey the command, "Laying aside falsehood, speak truth with one another, for we are members of one another." So, that's a short one today because I went a little long, but it's important. Truth absolutely matters. And so when it's suppressed, misrepresented, harassed, threatened, and silenced, the information like that, it's important that people are still there to speak it out no matter the consequence. And that's what's happening to a lot of these doctors. No matter the consequence, they're speaking the truth. So I'm going to put these links on there. Please go and read them. I really encourage you to read this stuff. You're not going to find it in the mainstream media. Steve Bannon on War Room, The National Pulse, Revolver.News, and Epic Times. They have, especially National Pulse and Revolver.News, they have done fantastic reporting. And Steve Bannon has been all over this Wuhan virus since last year. He's told, I mean, we've all known all this that has come from of the lab leak in Wuhan, and that it was funded, gain of function, weaponized, funded by taxpayer dollars through the Pentagon and through Fauci and the NIH, through Echo Health Alliance. All of this was known. It's just that the media didn't tell you. So this whole pandemic thing was used, extraordinarily used by Democrats, by whoever was in charge, to one, get rid of Trump, and two, control. And another thing, yes, by his own mouth, Bill Gates and others at the Davos, it was used as a great reset. Opportunity taken. We're living in very interesting times, needless to say. And the only way to get through it is truth, and follow that. Follow the truth. So that's what I hope I can bring to you. Thank you for listening today. My body, my choice. I hope that kind of caught your eye, and hope you'll continue to follow me if you have questions, or if you want to chew me out or whatever it is. Michelle at straighttalkwithmj.net. You can email me. Follow me at straighttalkwithmj.net and on Gab, Straight Talk with MJ, and Telegram, Straight Talk with MJ. Thank you, guys. I know a little long. I try to keep it short, but thank you. I love all of you. I just want the best for you, and I hope you'll continue to listen, and God bless.